Welcome to the audio ministry of Advance Church. You're about to go on an exciting journey into the Word of God with Advance Church and Pastor Bruce Clark. Be prepared to be informed and inspired as God reveals more of Himself to you through His Word. Before we begin, let's pray. Father, thank You for sending Your Word. Give us hearts to hear and faith to receive the things shared today. Open our eyes that we may behold the wondrous things out of Your Word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And now, here's Pastor Bruce Clark.
Praise God. Well, today I want to just briefly talk to you about the gospel and ABC, and this is a straight out flat teaching. I don't see any preaching occurring in this message at all. If it does, it will be by accident. The gospel and ABC. How many of you know what God expects of you? Just raise your hand. Let me just see your hands. Got a few. This is not a trick question, you know. What God expects of you. You know, they say that great managers must know and communicate to those that they are managing expectations, that fundamentally at the deepest, lowest level, expectations must be clearly articulated in order for a person to really have a good experience working for someone. Anybody ever work for somebody and you didn't quite know what they wanted you to do? That's frustrating. That's frustrating. But here's the deal. Many Christians are frustrated because they're not always very clear about what God wants them to do. And so many people are looking for the will of God. How many have prayed that? Lord, show me your will. Oh, God, I need to know what it is you're calling me to do. Wondering what the expectation of God is. Well, I'm going to put it out there for you right now. Let's go to the next slide. Here's what God expects you to do. Among many things, God expects that you would share the gospel with the help of the Holy Spirit. We can just make it very plain and very clear. You do not have to run and ask God, show me your will. We know there are manifestations of the will of God in our families, in the marketplace, in the community. I get that. But most of the time when people are asking what is the will of God, what they're really saying is, God, I'm sort of frustrated with where I am and what I'm doing. And certainly there has to be more to life than this. Often that's what that question, Lord, show me your will, is. It is a discontentment with my current placement. And so we really need to get honest with God. Instead of saying, Lord, show me your will, because he's already showed us, we must say, God, help me to do your will. All right, I'm done. God bless. That's enough right there. The will of God is that you and you and you and you and you share the gospel with the help of the Holy Spirit. So today we just, you know, some of you have heard this 1,000 times because you've been in church a long time, but you're still not doing it yet, so you need to hear it again. How to receive a relationship with God. What if instead of going to someone and say, you know, you need to get saved, what if we said, do you know how to have a real relationship with God? How to receive it? So the first thing I want you to see is in this little graphic thing is that a relationship with God is something that is to be received. It's not something we can work for. It's not something we can earn. Some of you in here need to hear this right now. You can't earn God's love. You can't earn God's forgiveness. You can't earn God's patience. You can't earn his joy. You can't earn God. There's nothing you can do to earn. So stop trying to earn God's blessing and favor and simply receive it. I don't have any money in my pocket. I do have a debit card, but it won't take you very far. But if I gave you this debit card, this particular debit card, you could say, well, you know, well, what do I need to do for it, Pastor? If I'm holding it out to you like this, and I've already made the decision in my heart to give it to you, the only thing you have to do is receive it. take it. It's yours. But we spend time negotiating with God. Well, I did this wrong. I got that wrong. I don't know this. I don't have this information. And you just need to receive it. And many people have not come to Jesus because the church has told them, because you're this, you have this issue and you have this problem and you have this problem and certainly this one. Oh, my God, you don't qualify for God. But the fact is, one must receive relationship with God. It's not something you earn. It's something that's given, and it's something you can receive. So the three things you must do in order to receive this relationship, and this is what I want you to go out and tell somebody this week. Start today. Start after you leave church. A, accept that you're a sinner and that you're in need of God. B, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the way to God. And C, confess that Jesus is your Savior and your Lord. Now, nobody in the room from this day on can leave the room saying, I don't know what to tell someone who's not a Christian. There you go. A, B, C. That's how you have a relationship with God. Now, I know the people in this church are tongue talkers, fire baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, got a prophetic edge, and all of the above. I know. Pastor, there's more depth to it. There is. But to receive a relationship with God is really this simple. All right, let's go to the next page. This is clear teaching. It's straight up teaching. Don't expect to shout too much today. How to receive a relationship with God? Accept that you are a sinner in need of God. Here's a scripture for you to memorize. If you haven't memorized this yet, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you're going to come to God, you must first accept, you know what? I'm a sinner. God, I need you. People who don't come to God are people who don't feel like they need him. I got some money. I got some fame. I got a little bit of this. I got a little bit of that. Bada bing, bada boom. I'm doing fine. I don't have any major issues. I'm not doing crack. I'm not stealing from the government. I'm fine. But they don't realize that their nature, apart from communion with God, is dead. And that one day they're going to have to answer, not for just all the stuff they've done. They're going to have to answer for that. But they're going to have to answer for the fact that they were presented the gospel of Jesus, that they heard about Christ and they made a decision in their hearts, I'm not going to do that. Now, I know there are many of you saying, well, Lord, what about that brother in Tanzania who's never heard the gospel? But as so many people always look for the exceptions to try to justify their position. I'm not talking about the person in Tanzania. Let's let God handle them. How about you? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Another scripture. Everybody in here is a Christian, should memorize that scripture. You see, the reason why we need to understand we're in need of God, because the wages of our sin is death. Sin is separation from God. Sin is I'm living my life independent from you, God. I don't need you. See, we need to elevate people's thinking beyond the fact that, well, you know, I did this wrong, I did that wrong, I did that wrong. Those are symptoms of a deeper issue. The issue is that we're separated from God and we need him. The issue is that we can't find a way to God by doing good, that no matter how good we are, we still can't get to God through our own human effort. Problem with mankind, I'm just teaching here today, the problem with mankind is that we think that human effort is the way. I got this job because I went to school, I studied hard, and therefore here's my result. I'm dating this person because I wore my makeup and I had my game and he liked me so much, it's just the way it is. Whatever the story is, I did something to get that. But that doesn't work with God. We don't get to God, God comes to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The difference, the Christian distinctive, is that our religion isn't about us getting to God. Our religion is that God came to us. And now we just receive it. See, that's what distinguishes us. We're not hating on anybody. Everybody has a right to believe whatever they want to believe. If God gave them the right, we have to support their right to believe whatever they want to believe. But we must at the same time not be scared to say what we believe in the name of Jesus. So in order to receive a relationship with God, we have to first accept that you're a sinner. If you can't get, you can't say, I'm Bruce, I'm an alcoholic. If you can't get to that. That first step of the 12-step program is to admit that you are an alcoholic, right? Well, that's just biblical. The first step to coming to God is to admit that you are a sinner. Don't spend a lot of time with people. You can spend time with them, but I'm saying don't try to convince people who feel like they've got it all together to come to God. After you've presented that truth to them, then you just love them and wait for another opportunity. But we got to first accept that we're a sinner in need of God. Everybody in here that has a relationship with God came to the point where you recognize, you know what, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm in trouble. Next point. A is to accept that you're a sinner. B is to believe that Jesus, who died and arose, is the way to the Father. Romans 6:23, you read that earlier. Another scripture you used to memorize. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Again, it's not something you earn. It's a gift. The gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The gift of God. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In order to have a relationship with God, one must come by way of Jesus. I've said it in one place, I've said it in others, I'll say it again. There are many ways to God. Watch this, and I lost some of y'all right there. There are many ways to God, but when you get to the door, there's Jesus. If someone says there are many ways to God, say, I agree. But when you get to the door, there's Jesus. We don't have to fight and fight and fight. We just have to be engaged and let the Holy Spirit lead us. Don't argue against people trying to come to God. Simply give them Jesus. Agree where you can and then give the truth. As they... Winston Churchill was the great master at this. You remember the story of Winston Churchill and later asked Lady Astor, and she went to him because he had a drinking problem. And she went to him and said, Winston, you're drunk. And he didn't say, blah, 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 blah. He said, yeah, you're right. I am drunk. And you're ugly. And tomorrow I'll be sober. It's terrible. But he agreed with her, is the point, in order to gain his advantage. And so we're not trying to gain advantage over people. We're simply trying to get to the place where we can give them the truth. So we agree where we can and then present Jesus. If we're going to have a relationship with God, we've got to believe that Jesus, he died, he rose, he's coming back again. He is the way to the Father. You don't have to debate that if someone doesn't believe that because they have come up with a philosophy based on their experience and their study, not proven, not tested by centuries, but you know, personalized, you know, because they're smart. They got it all together. They've done their study and they've done their research. They've come to the conclusion that they're, you know, Jesus is just one option among many. Don't spend your time debating that. They have a right to believe that. But we know, we believe, we articulate the principles of the Word of God. I am the way, said Jesus. See, people who say that Jesus was a prophet but fail to submit to him as Lord, really, they're intellectually dishonest. Because if you say that Jesus was a prophet, meaning that he heard from God and he spoke what God was saying, if you believe that now, if you believe that, then what are you going to do with this verse where he says that I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by me? Was he a prophet some of the time, or was he a prophet all the time? And if he was a prophet all the time, then this statement is also true. So come on, bro. You know, aren't you smart? Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This principle cannot be articulated just kind of lightly, you know. Well, you know, I believe that Jesus. Listen, the voices out here are not ashamed of their truth. And they're very bold about it. Christians, we gotta rise up in the boldness of the Spirit too and say, wait a minute, I've got something to say on this matter. I respect your right to disagree, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And without that level of boldness and conviction, we have a lukewarm cultural Christian club. But we can give the truth that in order to have a relationship with God, believe that Jesus who died and rose is the way to the Father. And then see, how do we receive a relationship with God? We got to confess that Jesus is Lord. Another scripture, church, for you to memorize, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So the third thing of the ABCs to tell people is that you must confess. Confess that Jesus is your Savior and your Lord, and you will come into relationship with God. Now, this confess doesn't mean, you know, Jesus is the Christ. But this word confess has to do with an admission. It has to do with a declaration from the heart. I have studied and analyzed and come to the truth. And now I say out of conviction that Jesus is the Christ. You know, sometimes you get people to gather and pray. Okay, you believe that Jesus is Lord? Yes, well, let's pray. Okay, now repeat after me. God, God, save me, save me. God, God, heal me, heal me. And so people are doing something sort of, repetitive to try to get you off the case. But to be truly come into relationship with God, there's got to be something on the inside of that person that says, oh, yeah, I see this Jesus for who he is. And now I give you my life. Where else? Like Peter said, where can I go? For only you have the words of eternal life. It's a conviction of my heart. When Jesus comes on the scene and asks, who do men say that I am? And some say you're a prophet, and some say you're a great guy, and some say you're a teacher. But something comes out of your heart that says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when we do that, we become born again. So what do you say, Christians? God's expectation of you is that you would share the faith. I'm not going to let up on that. God's expectation on you is that you would share the faith. God's expectation, your spiritual manager, your spiritual father, your heavenly father's desire and expectation is that you would share the faith. What's God's expectation of you? All right, share the faith. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't know how. Well, you've got the tools you need now to go forth and conquer. Last slide. Helping others receive relationship with God. I want to say what I said. I want to say it, and I want to say it again. Accept that you are a sinner in need of God. This is what you tell people. Believe that Jesus who died and arose is the way to the Father. See, confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Now, there are all kinds of ways to do this, all kinds of ways to get this, but you got to have some foundation in order to build. So remember these three, ABC, pretty simple, accept, believe, confess. Now, here's the thing. This principle of accept, believe, confess works in our Christian life all the time. Think about it. If you are in a situation and God is presenting something before you, let's say it is to, establish a satellite location in Prince George's County. Let's take that for example. Let's take that as an example. So, you know, God's put this vision out there, something for you to grab, Pastor Clark and ministry team and whoever senses a call to that, puts that thing out there. Well, if you go and say, well, you know what? We've planted a church before. This is our third time we've been involved in the church plant. We certainly know how to do this. And not accept the fact that, Lord, I, we need your help right now. If we don't get to that place, if God is calling you to start a business or to build a family, if you don't get to the place that you acknowledge your need for God, you're going to be in trouble. But after you accept it, then you got to believe. You got to add some faith to what you are seeing and what you envision. You got to believe it. And then you got to put some words to it. If you never get to the point where you can say it, then it's not going to come out. It's not going to come in your life. That's good teaching right there. You gotta be able to see your need for God. You gotta come into a place of faith, and then you gotta align your heart and your words with that thing that you're seeing in order for it to come to pass. You miss those three, and then it's not likely that you're gonna fulfill the call of God on your life. Lord, I accept. I need you. I don't know enough yet. I need you. I've been married 21 years. And I want to tell you something. I need God to be a good husband. Okay, I need him. I need him. I need him to be a good father. I need him to be a good pastor. I need him to be a good businessman. I need him. I need him. I need thee every hour, most gracious God. I need thee. But I believe. But see, we can't just stay on need. We can't stay, oh boy, everything. Oh God, I need you. Oh God, I'm a sinner. Boy, I tell you, I've messed up again. No, we got to move from that to faith. And we got to move from faith, the confession of our mouth, putting our words to what we believe. Because if you can't say it, then you don't really believe it. You're not quite sure yet. I want you to be like, yeah, good, amen, praise God. I mean, let's use the Prince George's County. I'm going to use that because that's hot. When God said that, it was clear. I accepted that I was a sinner in need of God. And I didn't believe it. I didn't say anything. Because when I looked at my journal, it was 2004 when God said it. I didn't even tell my wife about it. Because I didn't believe. And I didn't say it to the church yet. Because I didn't believe. I had to know God was talking to me. And the Bible says we know in part, we prophesy in part, so we don't have the full picture anyway. But it's not until in my heart I was convinced that it was God that I was able to say, we will establish a satellite location in Prince George's County. So this principle of accept, believe, confess, it works in every area of your life. What are you believing God for right now? Have you said it? Have you written it down? Is it coming from a place in your spirit, a place of conviction where you're saying, this is thus said the Lord. That's how someone gets saved. So brothers and sisters, God is expecting us to tell the world that God through Jesus Christ, Romans 2 Corinthians 5 was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their sins against them, given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. This ministry, this is the will of God. I want you to leave today. You don't have to ask God what his will is anymore. Start doing the will that you know, which is share the faith, and then the will that you're looking for in other areas will all of a sudden start coming out because you're in line. It's kind of like, I want to know the will of God for my ultimate career. Okay, so let's take that one. I want to know the will of God for that. But this foundational thing of sharing the faith, why would we expect God to paint this beautiful picture of your future and give you the tools to need to get that done and give you faith for that when the fundamental written expectation you're scared to do? It just doesn't work that way. So we got to learn to engage with God at the basic levels in order for God to reveal truth at a higher level. Don't get quiet on me, not because I'm telling you the truth. These things are true. We have to learn algebra before we can do calculus. There's just no way around it. And in some people out here, that's deep, and haven't learned these things. See, these foundational things have to be in place in order for us to really receive what God wants from us. And so we've got to learn that this principle of sharing the gospel is foundational. It's fundamental. It's at the core of who we are as Christians. But it's not something we can do. We need the Holy Spirit to help us, which is why we read the first scripture, Acts 1:8. And ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. So we need the Holy Spirit. So see, a part of the challenge is that we're trying to do it on our own. Oh, I better share this gospel. Pastor said it's God's will. I got to get out here. No. Well, we want to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're right here walking with me every day, showing me how to navigate in life. I thank you that you're my helper and you're my guide. I thank you. See, I'm living with the Holy Spirit. My eyes are open. I hear somebody say something on the job, for example, that gives me an opportunity to talk about Jesus, and I go there. So that's how we want to live our lives. Now, so here are three great stories to help illustrate the gospel, because sometimes just giving a principle, bro, you need to accept, you need to believe, you need to confess, is just too curt, too straight. So we need to embellish it. Put a little filet in that gumbo in order for people to really receive it. So here are three great stories to help illustrate the gospel. Genesis chapter 3. I'm giving you all the tools you need. You getting something out of this? How many of y'all going to do something with it? Amen. All right. I like that confidence. So three great stories to help illustrate the gospel. Genesis 3. Remember when Adam fell? You know, I preach this all the time. Can never preach it too much. When Adam fell, God did not come see and say, Adam, you are such a sinner. God said to Adam, where are you? The issue was the relationship was compromised, was torn. The relationship between God and his man was no longer strong. And so when you start talking to people about coming to Jesus, go to Adam. Go to this question. Did you know? Here's a simple question you can ask somebody. You know, I was in church the other day. I'm going to give somebody a conversation starter right now. Here's a conversation starter. I was in the church the other day at church. It's okay to say that. Everybody's pretty comfortable saying that. Okay, so far, so good. I was in church the other day and the preacher was preaching. So far, so good. That's easy enough to say. And he said something about Adam. You know Adam, right? Yeah. Do you know what God asked Adam? Well, see, I'm not forcing anything about anybody's throat. We're just having a conversation. The first question God asked Adam was, where are you? I find that interesting. Because God wasn't mad at Adam for sinning. He was mad because he wasn't connecting with him. And that's the real thing. The sin is secondary. The most important thing is, see, Adam was over there at the tree hanging out with his wife, looking at the fruit, saying, yeah, what color do you think it is, Eve? Is it red or is it kind of orange? And they're looking at the tree. God is over here in the cool, over here, and they're not even bringing him in the conversation. See, that was the problem. If Adam would have said, let's talk to God about this. God, we're looking at the tree over here. We like this tree. You told us don't eat it, but we like it. See, God would have helped them out. And in your life, there's some things you like looking at, huh? I'm helping you. You like looking at it. You might as well say it. I like you looking at it. You like doing it. You like whatever the thing is. The thing to do with God isn't to go, oh, glory to God. The thing to do is to say, God, I want to do that. I just help somebody. The thing to do is to say to God, I want to do this. I want to go down this path. And Lord, I know it's not good for me, but God, I really want to eat that pie at midnight or whatever your thing is. Help me. Help me. Help me. I admit that I need you. That's what you do. That's what Adam should have did. But he didn't do it. See, that story can help you illustrate the gospel to somebody. That what God wants is relationship. We can talk about the sin later. You name the sin. We're not going to name any in here. Name some sins. We can talk about whatever you're doing later. You know, the old preacher used to say, God doesn't ask you to get clean before you come to him. You come to him and then he cleans you up. So we bring to God our dirt. We bring to God our mess. We bring to God the stuff that we don't want anybody to know. The thought that you would say, oh God, I hope, thank God nobody saw that thought. You know, all that's the kind that raw reality of our lives is what God, who is a father, I want to know. With my daughter the other day, I was driving. I was saying, "Daughter, what are you thinking? What's on your mind? What do you care about right now?" See, that's the father. I'm not asking you to be perfect. I want you to be perfect, but that's not most important to me. Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Adam. Okay, that's the point. Second story to help illustrate this gospel is David and Bathsheba. This is good for the person who feels like they have done so much dirt. I can't come to God. I'm so dirty. Anybody met people like that? I've done too much wrong. There's no way God's going to forgive me. Some of us may have been that way, praise God. Just take them to David and Bathsheba in Psalm 51 and tell them the story of David, how he had it all. Brother had it all, okay? If you want to know a brother who had it all, it was David. David had no reason to cheat on his wife because he had, I don't know how many women he had. In that day and time, it was the order of the day. He had his wife. He had another wife. He had David didn't need Bathsheba. So here's a guy who is a king who sees a lady and says, you know what? I got all these over here, but you know, this is a new day. I did that too good, didn't I? Praise the Lord. And he sleeps her and he says, hey, and you know the story. So he sleeps with the woman. She gets pregnant, tries to get the man to come home from off the battlefield to sleep with the wife so that the wife, it appears that the baby is from her real husband. The husband says, hey, I'm not doing that, man. I'm a soldier. I'm on the battlefield. How can I go and lay with my wife when my brothers are dying on the battlefield? Man, I love that. But anyway, so dude didn't do it. David says, man, this guy's a man of character. So we got to kill him. This is a man of character. We got to get rid of him. That's why you need to pray for pastors and leaders who are working to live for God. Now, they're trying to take us out. Let me tell you right now, devil's trying to take us out. Okay? That's just real talk. So David sends the guy to the battle. Dude gets killed. David's like, okay, I got by. My grandma used to tell me, somebody always sees what you do, boy. And so he thinks he gets by, and the prophet comes and tells him a story. And then in Psalm 51, we see a man who goes to God and says, have mercy upon me, O God, for I am a sinner. God forgives him. He becomes the most quoted prophet of Jesus. Of all the things, of all the people Jesus quoted, no one more than David, a murderer, an adulterer, a killer of good men. So this is a great story for the person who says, hey, I've done too much. Nah, bro, nah, sis, the God we serve is a loving God. And if you will admit and accept that you are a sinner in need of God and believe and confess, God will give you relationship with him. Isn't that good news? And then another great story is Philip and the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8. I'm just going to read a little bit of that for our edification. Acts chapter 8. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And they went on their way. And they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Man, I tell you what, that's good story to keep in your spirit and your mind. Some people are questioning. Some people are studying. Some people are doing research. You may not even know that they're doing it. But some people that are in your life right now are asking questions about God. Somebody on your job, somebody in your neighborhood, somebody in your family is asking questions. And God wants you to be like Philip and go to them. Help them work through a process where they come to the truth and the confession of their heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We, brothers and sisters, are called to tell people to accept that they are sinners, to believe in Jesus, to confess that he is Lord. And of course, the scripture of all scriptures, we all know it, John 3:16. Come on, let's say it together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And verse 17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's good news. I mean, really, that's really great news. Now, what's bad news is, oh boy, you're terrible. That's bad news. What's bad news is that, boy, I tell you what, you better get yourself together because, you know, the church, we're holy and y'all not. That's bad news. The good news. ABC.
We pray that you've been inspired by the message shared today and have become even more aware of the purpose God has for your life. You're always welcome to join our service. We'd love to see you on Sundays at the AFI Theater in downtown Silver Spring, 8633 Colesville Road, near the intersection of Georgia Avenue. To find out more about the amazing things God is doing through Advanced Church, please visit our website at www.advancedchurch.org. And remember, it's your time to advance.